He is not here. Four words that mean so much. Four words that change the four corners of the globe. Four words that mean Christ is risen. Alleluia. Three things we need to remember regarding this solemnity of Easter. The word Alleluia for is the sprinkling of water, which will occur later after the profession of faith, to remind our bodies that we were baptized, and through our bodies grace entered our souls. And thirdly, for our sight, this candle, the Paschal candle, which is the presence of Christ, a reminder of him. He is not here. Today is the central feast of Christianity. Without this feast, there is no Christian faith. It is our most unique and important feast day. Egyptian pyramids are world famous, and the seven wonders of the world, of the ancient world. What are they? They're simply gigantic tombs to house the mummified bodies of human pharaohs. Or go to London, often when you hear news from London, you see Westminster Abbey in the background. It's famous. Thousands go there every week to visit the tombs of politicians, writers, philosophers, and royals who are entombed there. But I would suggest our mind, our imagination goes to the Middle East, to another city called Jerusalem. That too is famous and unique, unlike these other cities, because there is a tomb there, but unlike these other human edifices, this tomb has always been empty. He was buried there, but did not stay there. On the third day, he rose. And that was the most glorious miracle of his life. He defied the laws of nature, brought himself back to life with a glorious body, and then appeared over 40 days to hundreds of people in multiple places at various occasions. It wasn't just a few people who saw him, but hundreds. And for those that perhaps thought they were seeing a ghost, he ate fish, grilled fish, not battered, before their very eyes to prove, I have risen. As you heard in the sequence, I was slain, yet I've come to reign. I've combated death and I've won. I now go before you. Christ is truly risen from the dead, we know. Victorious King, thy mercy show. St. Paul, wanting to convince people of how important this feast day is, said, if Christ had not been raised, in other words, if there's no resurrection day, no Easter day, all is in vain. Even our faith is in vain. Why bother? If Christ had not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you're still lost in your sins. If Jesus Christ did not rise on early Easter morn, then the church is a fraud and the faith is a sham. But if he did rise, as we have believed and always shall, then that message ought to transform our lives. Jesus, if he had not risen, would have remained perhaps in the memories of some a good person who'd met a tragic end, somewhat like Socrates. But no, he rose in glory. Jesus Christ is God who has risen to give us life. And life is for the taking if we choose him. All the basic doctrines of our faith are founded on this truth of the resurrection. Christ is risen. There's a story of two women who were standing at the front of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, a glorious edifice built in the 12th century. And one woman said to the other standing there, why can't we build structures, buildings like this? It's beautiful. I mean, why can't we replicate this and build something like this today rather than our modern buildings? Her friend answered, the people who built this cathedral had faith. Today, we have only opinions. And you can't build a cathedral like this with opinions. We want and we need the faith of Mary Magdala, or Mary who came from Magdala. She watched our Lord die. She perhaps was there with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea as he was buried. She saw him embalmed, placed in the tomb. And we're told in the Gospel that she very early went to that tomb, discovered the stone had been moved aside and it was empty. She didn't sit there in self-pity. Oh, where have they taken my Lord? I wanted to be close to him. This need to be close to those whom we have loved, even in death, by visiting the cemetery or having something of our faithful departed close to us, is a natural need and not ought to be scorned. But she, realizing that something had happened, goes to inform the church authorities, the Pope to be, Simon Peter, although he had denied our Lord three times, sets out with John, the beloved, who remains unnamed in his own gospel. John, being younger and more than likely fitter, arrives at the tomb first. Now, if I was John, I would have gone straight into the tomb to see what had happened, because I saw him buried there last night, or this morning, well, a few days ago, and I would have gone in thinking, well, I'm faithful to the Lord. Ought not I have the right to go in first? But he didn't. He stood at the entrance of the tomb and waited for Peter to catch up, because he realized Peter still had authority. We might not like the person who has authority over us, but we ought to always, like John, respect the office. He did. Peter goes in first, John follows, and the realization dawns upon them. As we've heard, till this moment, they had failed to understand that he must rise from the dead. They go back, they inform the others, but then something happens. Mary of Magdala returns to the empty tomb. I would have gone off and had brunch or doing something else, but she, in her love to be close to Christ, still goes in search of him. And that's what we must do. Always be seeking the Lord. And as I've said, during Easter time, three things call him to mind: the candle, the word Alleluia, and the blessing of ourselves with holy water. Something for our body, something for our sight, and something for our ears. That beautiful word, Alleluia, a Hebrew word, praising God. So she, in seeking his presence, goes back to the tomb and is rewarded by the appearance of Christ. But note, she does not recognize him. She thinks he's a gardener, so somehow he must have been either with a gardening tool, a hoe, a shovel, or must have been dressed like a gardener, or perhaps he just merely gave her the impression that he was the gardener. Because he now has a glorious body and can transform the features of that body at will, as will be the case with us one day in heaven. So she thinks he is the gardener and comes up to him and makes the request, if you know where they have taken him, tell me so I may go and bring him to the tomb, thinking he's still dead. I don't know about you, but I've carried the dead body of a man and I can't carry. You need several people to carry a corpse. So her love has no limits. She'll do anything to be close to the Lord. He, seeing her sorrow, then says, Mary. The utterance of her personal name opens her eyes and she now recognizes the presence of the Lord. You see, God doesn't love us as numbers or as individuals, but personally, name to name. At her name, she is now blessed with the presence of Christ. And she wants to be with him. She wants to cling to him. But he says, not yet, Mary, not yet. There will come a time when you shall cling to me. She then, being rewarded for her faith, goes and tells the others that the Lord is risen. She becomes the first public witness. We presume a lady had already seen the Lord risen, but publicly speaking, Mary of Magdala, not Peter, not John, becomes the witness to all the others, who in turn would then physically see the presence of Christ. If we want Christ to be more present in our lives this year, let us turn to these three significant symbols during Easter time, but also, like Mary, go in search of the Lord. He is to be found if you have the faith. Seek him out, he will not hide, and then you will encounter him and be able to touch him. In his Eucharistic presence, when he enters your soul, he gives you not just life for the soul, but his grace, his very presence within. And that's why we sing with great joy, Alleluia, and praise God for this gift of his abiding presence here under the veil of his real, under the veil of bread and wine, to feed our souls and prepare us for life hereafter.